Mr. President, like many of my colleagues, I'm frustrated that we have not been allowed to call up germane amendments for the past few days. This is a substantial piece of legislation, and senators should have the opportunity to have up or down votes on proposed amendments which they think will improve the legislation. I have filed four amendments and would like to talk briefly about two of them that deal with the merchant card reporting requirement. In an effort to find revenue offsets, I'm concerned that Congress is rushing to adopt a flawed merchant card reporting proposal that establishes a new tax compliance burden on small businesses and does not provide enough time to develop and implement this new system. Little is really known about the true cost of this proposal, and the Finance Committee has not had an opportunity to have the IRS demonstrate in a hearing that the information collected could be used in a meaningful way to drive tax compliance. The merchant card reporting proposal would require that the institution that makes the payment to the merchant or the payment facilitator for a payment card, which is both credit cards and debit cards, report annually to the Internal Revenue Service the name, the address, the aggregate amounts of payments for the calendar year of each participating merchant. Additionally, the payment facilitator or the electronic payment organization must validate the taxpayer identification number of the participating merchant. If the number does not match, then the payment facilitator or the electronic payment organization must withhold 28% from the merchant. This unprecedented level of reporting to the federal government will likely impose substantial implementation costs that will be passed on to many compliant small business taxpayers. Small business owners will also have to ensure that their records conform with the additional information reported by the merchant card processor. This is an additional compliance step which will add to the already high cost of tax compliance for small business owners who currently spend, on average, over $74 per hour to meet tax paperwork and compliance burdens that already exist. The structure of this merchant card system does not make complying with the proposal feasible in just a couple years. Merchants are not currently identified in systems by Social Security numbers or taxpayer identification numbers. Instead, merchants are generally assigned a merchant identification number. If implemented, this proposal would require institutions to spend several years trying to match merchants to Social Security numbers or taxpayer identification numbers. I appreciate the fact that the underlying legislation extends the effective date for reporting to December 31, 2011, and the effective date for backup withholding to December 31, 2012. However, I don't believe that this provides enough time to make the changes to existing systems and processes, to build and test new reporting systems, to perform taxpayer identification number matching, and to hire and train the personnel needed to implement and comply with the new reporting requirements. In addition, a high dollar reporting threshold is necessary to eliminate reporting on casual sellers rather than persons engaged in business, and it should be granted to all payment settlement entities. My preference would be that we strike this section until we identify the cost to businesses, the total cost of implementing this new reporting regime within the IRS, and the ability of the IRS to use this information in a meaningful way to close the tax gap. If that amendment were allowed to be brought forward and defeated, then the Senate should provide an additional year at least to implement this system. But as I indicated, Mr. President, we won't have an opportunity to vote on these amendments or other amendments that other senators want to bring, because we have been stopped from calling up germane amendments as we move forward on this legislation. Mr. President, as I indicated, I also tried to bring up several other amendments. An amendment to reduce the $300 billion loan authority to $68 billion, which is the number that CBO expects the FHA refinancing program to actually utilize, and the number that was used to calculate the score of the new program. Yet, we will not be allowed to match the projections to the reality of the legislation. I also ask permission to bring up my amendment number 5003 to eliminate the FHA reverse mortgage cap, something which this Senate floor has already voted to do, and which was in the FHA modernization legislation that this Senate has already passed. And yet it's now not included in this legislation, and we are not going to be given an opportunity once again to include it. Mr. President, there is important material in this legislation that needs to move forward, but the legislation also contains serious flaws. And I'm concerned that the process we are following has not allowed this Senate to truly work its will on this legislation as it moves forward. With that, Mr. President, I yield back the balance of my time.